fly, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly away. Come fly with me, let's float down to Peru.
Hey, 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 how's it going out there? Welcome back. Guess what? My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Yes, you are in fact listening to the one and only Carolyn and Joe Show.
Our names have not changed.
That's right.
In the past 200 and whatever 50 or so episodes we've done.
But sometimes they switched. Sometimes they have switched. No. How's it going, Carolyn? How are you doing today?
I'm doing excellent. I'm a little tired. You know, I must say it's past midnight. Full disclosure, we're leaving for New York Comic Con in about 5-6 hours.
Yes, on the verge.
And we have a special guest in studio with us, spending the night with us before New York Comic Con.
Wait a minute.
And her name is Teresa Roberts Logan. Some of you may know her as the Laughing Redhead.
How's it going, Teresa?
It's going fine. I have my sexy voice from talking too much on a Caribbean cruise last week.
Is that what happened?
3 days ago, I was in the Caribbean.
is that the secret to the sexy voice? You got to go on a cruise.
Yes, and talk it? Way too much. Talk way too much.
That's pretty
get
awesome.
That raspiness.
Yes.
I want to hear your voice like in the next 4 days after New York Comic Con. It might be gone, dude.
After me screaming and stalking Andrew Lincoln. Andrew.
So is he like your most favorite thing you're looking forward to at New York Con? Besides, of course, you know, splitting a booth with us.
This is your first time out with y'all. This is my first New York Comic Con. I've never even attended. You know, that's breaking one of my cardinal rules of trade shows.
This might blow your mind, then. This might be almost scary, like frightening.
Well, because the most intense thing I've done before is I've done licensing show a couple of times. And so, you know, they've got the Batmobile and the Elvis block and all that stuff. But yeah, I think I'm going to be intimidated.
Do you know what the attendance is at the licensing show?
I do not. I should know those things.
Joe, do you know the numbers
being a professional.
New York?
At New York?
Yeah.
We're talking like almost like 500,000.
No, seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Especially since every day is like pretty much sold out. Like the whole weekend is pretty much sold out. Uh-huh. So they're utilizing the whole entire Javits Center. So imagine that.
That is amazing.
So it's sort of like no one else can come in.
Except us.
Yeah.
Except we of the nerd people.
Yes.
That's like my favorite
These
moment,
are my
too.
Because
when I have like the pro badge, I just like walk right in.
That's,
and like
feels
walk
good.
Past all the line and just get your badge. It
that
doesn't take very
good.
Long. I'm like, yes, I don't have to wait in any lines.
See, I even love that at Baltimore Comic Con, so I'm going to extra, extra, extra love it
yeah.
at New York Comic Con.
This is like pretty much the biggest lines you'll ever see.
I wonder if they are completely sold out because like the 4 day passes sold so quickly.
Hey, it's time for the Carolyn's news.
Time for the news.
Time to just bust right into it.
Well, there is some news because I guess my current status of New York Comic Con is that 90% of the Thursday tickets are sold out. So really, the only thing left is 10% of Thursday tickets. So
nice.
It's not very
much.
And everything else is sold out. Friday sold out. Saturday sold out.
And Thursday is not even like
Sunday sold out.
Thursday is not even like a major day for that to be sold out is scary.
Thursday is a pretty slow day at New York Comic Con.
Is that the VIP day?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the pro VIP day, and
that's
kind of
people who come in and change our lives.
Yeah.
That's what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
That's where we get discovered.
Yeah. I mean, so it is an important day, you know, for some of us.
What's amazing? I think last year when we went, or maybe 2 years ago. We were there so early that they were still like putting like gift bags together in front of us. Oh,
did we get gift bags?
No, there was a VIP people who get those bags.
Man. I bet Andrew Lincoln gets a gift bag.
He probably does get all the swag.
Tell me who Andrew Lincoln is, not to cut off the Carolyn's news.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Is he?
He's Rick Grimes. He's sheriff. He's Sheriff Grimes, man.
I saw him last
year.
I saw him last year.
I love him. I love him.
Aw. Okay, so let's hit the news and then we'll continue on of our fascinations at New York Comic Con. Okay, so after New York, New York is October. In November, on November 9th, We are going to be at Southern Maryland Comic Con. Joe and I are going to be there. And then on November 10th, the following day, is the Team Cul-de-Sac Parkinson's Walk. And I think Teresa is going to be walking with us as well.
I will indeed be walking. Wait,
that's true. I am now officially announced for those shows.
Yeah, Joe is on a questionable icon. He might have had another pending date. But it's true that he's been cleared for that weekend. So
Not cleared, but now I am officially signed on.
Officially signed on. So you're going to be walking in the Parkinson's Walk.
And also at the Comic-Con. So that might also mean I might have another panel.
You might have
another pro wrestling panel. Well, so
you might have to announce it later until that's official. And so, okay. So on November 10th is the Parkinson's Walk. And any of you that are listening to this show are welcome to join the team. It is free to walk. It's a 2-mile walk. And you can do it. And if you earn any money...
If I can do it, anybody can do it.
Yeah. if you earn any donations or money from your coworkers or from your family, all of that goes to the Parkinson's Foundation, so it goes directly to that cause. But otherwise, you know, it is free to walk, so there is, like, you know, no requirement of any of that. So basically, you can sign up, Google Team Cul-de-Sac, Parkinson's Walk, and you'll find, hopefully, the link. It is a very long link to send out, or you can email me at info@curl-studio.com and tell me you're interested in the Parkinson's Walk, and I will send you that link directly. But yeah, that's the main news for, like, as far as I know, the end of the year. That might be the last. Oh my gosh, and how can I forget? There is Cartoonist Draw Blood.
I was wondering about
that. Oh, yes, yes.
Oh, I keep, there's so much I'm focused on.
We do have a redhead here, and we forgot about saying
that's
blood.
That's true. May I ask a question about Parkinson's? Like, do we need to dress in a certain way? Are we doing any uniform-y kind of stuff?
Not really. I mean, like, we could do shirts, but I don't really want to, like, burden people with, like, having to pay for a printed-up shirt or anything.
Okay,
but maybe we'll find, like, a color or something that we can all wear, or just, I don't know, we'll figure something out.
I only have black, so.
Yeah, we'll just
FYI.
Dress in black, then. Or dress like zombies.
I don't even know why I was asking, because I have nothing but black
clothing. Maybe we can, like, have a
wait, is that
sign
true? You have nothing but black clothing?
Black and gray.
Or, like, designs that are black and white.
It's funny.
You know, my mother actually gave me a gift certificate to buy clothes, and she goes, I'm not going to hand you this if you're going to buy more black clothes. I said, well, then don't give it to me, because that's all I want. It just makes life easy.
It's funny. I ran into that same exact scenario. I was working with a model who was also a redhead. But instead of having, like, the style you have, she went the opposite, and there's, like, a bright pink instead of, like, the sort of the white thing. But she only has black, and I challenged her to a photo shoot that only had white.
That's pretty good.
So she was like, I really have no other white. So I was like, it was pretty good. Cool to see a different side.
It's like the Imagine video.
Yeah, exactly.
It's appropriate today.
So about Cartoonist Draw Blood.
Yes.
Okay, November 2nd. If you're interested in donating blood, we are up for having you on board. So here's the premise behind Cartoonist Draw Blood. I found a church near Tacoma Park Metro who is willing to donate their space, and we will be there. It's called Seekers Church on November 2nd.
Seekers Church?
Yes, Seekers Church.
Like, as into, like, seek and destroy type thing?
I guess so, yeah. And so we'll be there.
That means it's an open-minded place.
Yes. 10 to 3:30 p.m. 10 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. And we're going to have 15-minute slots you can sign up for to donate blood. And in addition to that, there's, like, several cartoonists who are volunteering their time and services to draw you something after you donate blood. So you get something in return. And it's original art by, like, the finest cartoonists in the D.C. area.
I am wondering what type of... Is it, like, a portrait, or is it, like, the first thing that comes to their mind?
I don't know. Like, I think that I don't want to, like, assign people stuff. So I feel like it could be whatever, you know... You can ink master that deal and, like, try to work with that artist and, like, see what you want, you know?
Like, mini commissions.
Yeah, mini commissions or portraits. I know, like, a couple people there are really good at portraits. So, you know, I think it's a good deal. You get something to hang on your wall. It's always, like, a treasured memory that you gave blood. And also, correction.
It'd be cool if they can get, like, a bit of blood at the end and they can, like...
Put it in their necklace and, like, have a veil of blood.
Or, like, add that to, like, the drawing somehow.
Yeah. Maybe.
Like, put a thumbprint, like, their thumbprint of blood.
And I just want to add that the cartoonists will not be drawing the literal blood from people. The American Red Cross is not qualified to do that. The American Red Cross is handling all of that. And
that would have been awesome.
The other thing is, in our last episode of the Carolyn and Joe show, we were not sure And also, I myself were not sure, and our guest Elaine was not, even though she did give blood in the past, we were all not sure if what the quantity of blood they were taking. And at one point, she mentioned a quart.
We're like, a gallon of blood.
Yeah,
that's a lot of blood.
Yeah, I know. I was like, holy shit, I'm going to pass out. But I did do my research on it this week, and I just want to clarify that they do take a pint.
A little less than a quart.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
A pint is like, I think it's like one of those little milk, you know, like those little milk things.
Wait, that's like a pint.
A quart is 2 pints, isn't it?
This is getting too mathematical.
Is it like a quart? That's like the sample you're given of paint when you go like to Lowe's or something. Here's like a sample and that's like a pint.
No.
Right?
2 pints.
A pint
is 2 cups.
Isn't a pint like
a quart is 2 pints.
So a pint is, 2 cups. Which isn't that
much. 2 cups of blood, that's a lot.
No, it's not. That's like, you know, like those little milk cartons that you get in like cafeteria
lunch?
That's
a pint.
I think that's a pint.
That looks like a lot to me.
It does.
Dude, I'm like afraid I'm going to pass out, Teresa.
It's all right.
No, they take care of that. The Red Cross knows what they're doing. My son donates his blood pretty regularly. Yeah. He's hooked into the Red Cross, man. They love him.
And they, from what I heard,
if he keeps giving blood, it's like the perfect place. It's
yeah,
like, it's like a vampire. Come back in. Vampire has his hookup. You know what I mean?
Yeah, seriously, they'll have plenty for him.
But I guess it takes like 15 minutes to get all the blood out of your body. So you know seems like they take.
How
a
would
lot.
You know that?
Is That's what it said on the website.
Oh, okay. Because that was disturbing.
Was it, what, 15 minutes?
That she knew that.
You're going to be here. Exactly.
I had to do some research, so I know what I'm talking about. But yeah, I mean, I think I once donated blood, but I don't remember for sure. But now I feel like I do got to take one for the team since I'm organizing this event.
That's true.
So it's kind of I can't be like, hey, everybody, donate blood, but I'm not going to donate my
blood. I'll donate blood if they'll have it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's how I don't see why they... Wouldn't.
Why they would refuse my blood.
Yeah.
Oh, there's many like, reasons much, to refuse blood.
No, well if you look I'm online, yeah, you either, because at one time I was anemic and I'm probably not anymore, but at one time I kind of was. So yeah, I think you have to be over 18. You have to,
Gosh, I don't know if I'm over 18. Okay, I'm
one
I'm
day.
Way,
one day.
I'm way over 18.
you have to have a certain amount of time within the country.
What?
I was just
in the Caribbean.
That's your out.
No. No. You
does
know
that
what?
Count
that
as
would
America?
Be weird. No, it's another country. But okay. I don't know. They do count it as North America, but that doesn't mean anything.
Wait,
know.
What's
it's
that?
Yeah. Country.
Caribbean's not a country.
You have to have a passport.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, I went to the Bahamas. So
the Bahamas?
That is another country.
You do a lot of traveling, don't you? I feel like in the past, every time I've run into you, you travel a lot. Is that part of your lifestyle?
Yeah, because I do stand-up comedy, so
she's
they make you go places.
We need to learn more about Teresa. Tell us about Teresa. Why did you want to... For one thing, I've always wanted to know is like, what is the beginning of your comedian career? You know what I mean? As a comic. Was it in high school? Was it in elementary school?
No, but I used to, when I was growing up, I used to do tons of voices. I like to talk in all these different voices. And I never had really thought about doing stand-up. One friend of mine in seventh grade named Teresa... Ironically,
oh, really?
I had two best friends were named Teresa. It was Teresa, Teresa, Teresa. And the weird thing in DC now, this is total tangent, is my two best friends are Issa and Nafisa, and my best friend in Virginia is Alisa. So it's Alisa, Issa, Nafisa, and Teresa.
Wait, did you say this is a thing?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not planned. And there have been non-rhyming friends in between. Like, y'all don't rhyme with me. Joe and Carolyn don't rhyme with me.
That's
so,
right.
You know, I'm not, you know, it's not like a litmus test.
It like, always
yeah.
have to be like
like, if you're a non-rhyming person, yeah. I can still be friends with you. But
you're,
she
you're
asked,
reaching. You're,
yeah.
You're,
yeah, seriously. But she had asked me if I'd ever thought of doing stand-up. I mean, just like once in seventh grade.
What led to that, though?
Because I was riffing, I guess.
Just like the voices. You're like, oh, you should do stand-up one day.
And then... I didn't even think of it. I was just caught. She goes, have you ever thought of stand-up? And I said, no. And then I didn't think of it again until many years later. I was an artist at Hallmark when I worked at Hallmark Cards.
If you think about it, it's an actually interesting question. That, like, would you say seventh grade that happened?
That was, yeah.
And
which
like,
is kind of pathetic when you think
about it. I was
like,
have you ever done stand-up before? I was like, well, how would you?
How would you do?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, at that fifth grade nightclub that everybody goes to. Yeah, there would have been no opportunity. Yeah. When would I have done that?
But she was like, I swear,
tell
like, you've done it before.
You should really do it. to get whatever this is out of your system, I guess. She was telling me that I'm like, they're giving cries for help, probably.
Yeah.
But then I was working for Hallmark many years later, and at the time I worked for Hallmark, there were 700 artists and writers there that worked there. And so every 6 months we would do a presentation to the incoming, the new hires. But everybody else always did like these really boring slideshow kind of things. And we thought, let's not
PowerPoint.
Do that. Yeah, PowerPoint. Well, that was like prehistoric PowerPoint slideshows, you know. And so...
Like on those stone tablets.
Yes, yes, stone tablets. And yeah, after we went to work with our foot-powered cars. And then... but what we decided we'd do is something funny. So we decided we'd do a game show, and I dressed up as a game show host and had a mustache and a powder blue leisure suit. And this really pretty blonde friend of mine pretended she was kind of a dumb blonde assistant. And we cut out pictures of the president of the company on Mylar and called it You Bet Your Job. And then we improvised a game show. You Bet Your Job, and told them that they would lose their jobs if they couldn't.
What a scary game.
It was kind of scary. It was kind of fun.
So much pressure.
I know, on the new hires. Who cares? Let's abuse them. And then one of the guys from the humor workshop came up to me and said, have you ever thought of doing stand-up? And I said, no, not since seventh grade when my friend Teresa asked me. This is the second time somebody... And I don't know. You sometimes wonder, is it because I'm so pathetically in need of attention that they're going, you know, really, you need to get this out of your system somewhere else.
Was that the first?
Go on stage. The Humor Workshop was a thing at Hallmark where they put most of their funny people and they got to do funny things. And I did a rotation into that for a little while, which I liked. That's how I knew all those guys and got to borrow their powder blue leisure suit. So he took me to 3 open mic nights and I thought, hey, I could be that bad. And I wrote my little 3 minutes and that's how I got into it. I went and did my 3 minutes, and there was a club owner there who asked me to come over to his club and work. And pretty soon I was working so much, you know, I'd be out doing a one-nighter till 2 a.m. and I had to be painting at my desk at 8 the next morning. So I thought eventually I'm going to have to make a decision. Yeah. And that's kind of how it happened. I just kind of never wanted to look back and say I didn't try it.
Yeah, that's a good outlook on it. So for those first 3 minutes... Did you do research? Like, what did you have already jokes planned and lined up for that?
I did for the 3 minutes, but it was funny because I had one of my best friends, this named Mindy, and she was always telling me when I would say something that would make everybody laugh, she'd go, write that down.
Yeah.
So she was kind of my little nag friend. She was great because she made me write stuff down, and she actually made me get in that habit, which I never had really been in. And so once she made me do that, and then I kind of organized it into 3 minutes and practiced it. And I was just hoping not to die a horrible death on stage. But it actually went okay. It went well.
I've filmed a lot of like stand-up comedy and also even a lot of like open mics. I've seen people die on stage.
Oh, it's a horrible thing. And the weirdest thing when you're doing stand-up is like doing the same thing 7 nights in a row and getting 7 different responses to the very same act.
Yeah.
It's a very weird thing.
And like what part of this, at least when you first started, like how was that first day? Like the first 3 minutes, did you get the reaction that you wanted or?
Actually, I was surprised because
do you remember
I
what it
just,
was? Do you remember what your
they,
first 3 minutes
they
were?
They laughed. Oh no, I don't remember what first 3 words. Oh, you know, I do remember I used to do this old joke about being a nerd magnet and.
Wait, were you a nerd magnet?
Totally. I am a nerd. So I am a nerd magnet. I love the nerd life. As a matter of fact, Comic-Con thing, I was like, these are my people. Gary says, how was it? And I was like, it was awesome. These are my people. I love them. So I remember that. Yeah, I remember that. I'm definitely a nerd man because I'm nice to everybody. My friend Mindy told me, she said, you know, it's not really a compliment to be your friend because you like everybody. I said, I don't really like everybody. I'm just nice to everybody. So I'm sort of stealth discriminatory.
But that's the best way to be, though, you know?
I like being nice to people. Why not?
Do you think that's a Southern thing? Is that
it is a Southern thing.
Southern hospitality.
Well,
because the more north
thing.
You get, they're just mean.
Just very direct.
Yeah.
No, you know what? It's funny because I'm kind of more redneck Southern, so like we're very direct. And,
yeah.
And it's a weird thing. Like I'm always call myself like a bohemian redneck. I'm kind of this weird combo. But rednecks have a lot in common with those very direct northerners because they just say what they think.
Yeah.
And all my best friends are people like that will say what they think. They're not playing games and
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I do too. I like that. I like honest people.
I feel like sometimes that's actually the best way to go, because you don't have to worry about like, oh, I wish I I said that, or
here's what I wish I'd said.
Yeah.
Just say it.
I have a tendency because I still have this thing where I'm not allowed to lie. Like I still don't lie. But I've found out fun ways of still saying what's on my mind, but making it like, not like, oh my God, I can't believe you said that, but just twisting it. So it's like, were you serious about that? Or you know,
did you really know you just said that out loud?
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
But that's what I love about like not lying. It's, you get creative, because people think about if you're not going to lie, they always think like, I don't know, that you always have to like reveal something, or I don't know, but I find the joy in spinning the truth into something like entertaining.
You can be very diplomatic. Like my husband's in theater, and we've always had theater friends. There's all these different ways to say to make a nice comment. Even if you didn't like something, you can say things like, wow, I've never really seen it done that way before. Or, wow, it really looks like you enjoyed what you were doing, and things like that.
it's also cool, because when you talk to people and they're having trouble saying something to someone, they're like, man, I really wish I can just go over there and like give them a piece of my mind, you know? And then like, I feel like at this point in my life, I'm able to be like, well, you can go over there and like, I can't tell you how to do it directly, but there's a spin on how you can say like, oh man, you have like a booger hanging out of your nose or something like that. Like there's certain ways to make it not make them feel embarrassed.
Well, Southerners, like that is one thing. Southerners do that kind of, there can be the Southern Belle ilk, you know, where they'll say things like, well, look at you. You're not half as fat as you used to be.
Bless your heart.
Yeah, bless your heart, which means some other, you know, like really things. But so they are those backhanded compliments. Look at you, you know.
But see, at the same time, it's like, I bet they don't feel as bad because they're saying it, but they're not, you know what I mean? It's like this.
They're spinning it.
Yeah, they're spinning it.
Yeah. It's like a gift.
Yeah. I appreciate the spin, even though, you know, you can spin it in a good way and a bad way.
I feel like the Southern people don't get as much recognition as they should. Like, I feel like some type of New York mentality that's like fast and like honest, you know, which is still, you know, fine. Like that gets so much prominence to be. And then like they're kind of like crude, but in a good way, you know, just to like, you know, tear off the Band-Aid real quick and like get it over with, you know. But then like the Southern people, like I have some strong admiration for like that type of thinking, because like a lot of people pass on rednecks to be like, oh, rednecks, you know, whatever, but then they have some
very
good things
direct
to offer.
They totally do. I mean, I won't call my family any names, but I would say that a lot of us are proud rednecks, you know. But there's a whole lot, you know, you can't just say redneck. It's not just one kind of person. Rednecks are a whole bunch of different kinds of people. So anyway, I'm from Tennessee and all my family's from Mississippi, and then I lived 20 years in Colorado and now been out east. Now I'm a mid-Atlanticer.
You've been all over. So how long did you live in Memphis?
The first 23 years of my life.
Oh, wow.
Born and raised, and went to college there. And then I got hired by Hallmark Cards in Kansas City, and I moved to Kansas City for 3 years. And then I moved to Chicago for 6 months, and then Colorado for 20 years.
I have never been to Memphis at all.
Oh, you haven't?
It's such
a great city.
I've never even stepped foot in Memphis.
Best barbecue on the planet.
That's what I hear.
Great music town. You'd like it. Oh, it's such a great music.
Elvis Presley?
Home of Elvis.
Crucial elements. Elvis and barbecue. That's already sold me on the whole place.
Oh, yeah. Sun Records and Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
Jerry Lee Lewis and all that stuff.
How
and
far
blues,
is that away from
B.B. King?
How far is that from here? Probably like,
Is it
9 or 10 hours? Right?
It's a big drive, because I mean, I drove to Nashville and that took most of a day. Yeah, it took a very long time. That was from like Richmond area I drove. That's a very long drive, and you got to watch the policemen down there too have so many speed traps, because coming from Tennessee, they have like 75 miles an hour, and you come into Virginia and it switches quickly to 65. Oh, don't even get me started on my ticket I got. Yeah.
Do you get a lot of tickets?
Are you a fast driver? I used to, but I don't have a car anymore, so I don't.
Oh, there you go.
I nipped that in the bud.
You're like, how can I solve this problem?
Hey,
get rid of the cars.
Why don't I never drive?
I'm always telling people that. I tell people that, like, in this area, like in North Virginia area, they're like, why is there so much traffic? How can we solve this traffic situation? I was like, well, there's two ways of doing this, truthfully. You can either, one, get rid of the people, or get rid of the cars, which is easier for you. Because you can't really build more roads. It's still just going to get worse.
I have
noticed
with the government shutdown that my commute going home has dropped in half.
Oh, really?
Which is like very convenient for me. And I know this is going to sound really mean and some people are going to hate me, but I'm kind of happy for the government shutdown because it like works conveniently for me. Because, you know, it cuts down my commute by
that
a lot.
Was, you know, that was Boehner was talking about that. But this will help Carolyn. This will help Carolyn. Let's keep this going.
You all like want to help Carolyn.
But it's already affected some of our friends, like government contractors and stuff. So like I can totally see like it being a problem for other people. So I don't mean to be like so selfish about it, but I am enjoying it.
I know, but
it.
You know, you're just looking on the bright side, so that's okay.
Yeah,
I think that's okay to look
positive.
On the bright side of things. That's all right. That's all right.
I mean, at the end of the day though, less traffic is always good. So
I have talked to other people and they said that it hasn't affected their commute. Apparently from like Silver Spring to Northern Virginia is still pretty bad. So I don't know. Like DC area is always going to have a lot of traffic no matter what.
I just cannot stand driving. I
especially during rush hour.
Like you don't like driving, the physical action of driving?
No, I got sick of driving when I lived out. I didn't realize I had never not lived in a city until I lived kind of out in rural Virginia. And I would have liked it if it had been really rural, like if I really had a house in the middle of a wheat field or a cornfield or corn and soy.
No, corn and soy.
Corn and soy fields down there. But I was kind of in a burb kind of thing,
oh, okay.
You know, where they would send you notices like you need to paint your mailbox and why are your white lights still on your porch.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just do not hang with that very well.
You wanted like the... You know, no one can find you.
Yeah.
You could be the Unabomber type
of looking. Yeah. Like, I could totally do that.
Yeah.
I love being alone. But I just, but it was kind of the in between where people were just in your business enough that you're like, what?
Yeah.
Like, I can't do that. So anyway, I lived somewhere I had to drive, you know, 25 minutes to get Starbucks, which is weird. Because in Denver, literally 30 seconds from my back door, 30 second walk, there was a 24 hour Starbucks. But then I figured, I think I must have saved thousands of dollars though, probably when I had to drive to, but I just got so tired of driving. I'm just over it. I don't care if I ever drive, if I ever get, I just don't care. I like trains, planes, and automobiles if I'm not driving them.
I mean, that's totally cool though, because I think after a certain point, I feel like maybe I would probably get tired of traveling all the time too, you know what I mean? Because at least for me, my job, I always have to drive, or you know, it's since I have no one set location, it's always just like, oh, hop on 95, go this way, hop on. I bet sooner or later I'll get tired of the touring life, you know?
Yeah,
but not yet though. I still like the trouble, but I understand your aspect of like, I want to live out in the middle of nowhere.
I'm
a big fan of like, say like the desert and like the middle of nowhere in the desert. I remember when we were driving, like Karen and I were driving and going toward the Grand Canyon or somewhere in the middle of nowhere towards the Grand Canyon. And, you know, you're driving like, I don't know, what is it, the 101 or whatever. But it's dark, middle of nowhere, so it's just black. But all of a sudden, like really far, I see like one light.
See, I love that.
Yeah, I'm like, I want to be there.
So awesome. I was telling my husband, like, my husband's never been on a cruise, and I've been hired several times to do comedy on them, and I love it, because generally when I've been hired, I only had one or two shows that week, and then the rest of the time, you just do whatever you want to do. So I was standing out, and you're looking at the dark, it's dark, and it just goes into blackness, and you can see, you just hear the water.
But see, I have the biggest
splashing,
fear
and then
of
you
that.
Can see the stars. Oh, it's awesome. And I love, my favorite thing is during the day looking around and you see nothing but horizon. You see nothing. You're just out in the middle of the ocean. I love it.
See, that part makes me see.
You're a landlubber.
I like the desert, but you go to the water, because I'm not really a fan of the water in general, and I don't even know why.
Really?
I don't even know why.
The water.
But like, that's one of my biggest fears. Have you seen that movie like Open Water?
Yeah, that's an awesome scary movie.
It is.
That's so terrifying.
But that's how it feels. Like, say you're in the middle of the ocean, right, by yourself, and then
it's completely dark.
It goes dark. That's sort of scary to me.
That is terrifying. But at least they had the lightning to comfort them.
Yeah, they had the lightning. But see, I saw that.
Flashes of lightning to show
Thank
the fins
God for
swimming
lightning.
Around them.
So really, there's two.
That's a scary movie.
There's two perspectives I can look at being stranded in the middle of the ocean. One is open water, like that horror movie, or Life of Pi.
Yeah, seriously. Well, Life of Pi isn't like a... That's not a pleasure trip.
It's not a pleasure trip either. But like, if you're like... I always wanted to see a giant whale. And like that was the best way to see it. You know, like he's stuck in the middle of the ocean and all of a sudden the water becomes like this neon glow and all of a sudden these whales.
Awesome.
Yeah. So if that were to happen, I would be totally down with it. But it was pretty scary though. Well, yeah, there's no way of making that look not scary.
Well, we went kayaking off Catalina Island one time and a pod of pilot whales came up near us, very close. And it was, it was amazing.
Could you feel the difference in scale?
Yeah, they're not huge though. They're not huge.
They're not like massive. I always think whales are like the biggest things ever.
These pilot whales seem like somewhere between a big dolphin and a, maybe they were like a big great white. It was hard to tell because I just saw pieces of them.
A big great white's pretty scary too. Tail.
Well, we stayed over the kelp beds because our friend said that the great whites don't like the kelp beds and we just trusted that.
That's good.
We're like in 60 feet of water. It's one of those things like you gotta go with it. Like I love swimming in the ocean. I love it. And it's one of those things that's like flying, getting on an airplane.
Yeah.
You just hand it over. You either have to go with it. You either go swimming in the ocean or you don't. You know, if you get on a plane, you're trusting him.
Yeah.
If you get out in the water, it's like, am I going to become sushi? I probably wouldn't have the choice. You know, it's like once they decide your lunch, you're pretty much on the food chain.
But you can still, I feel like in the situation of water or whatever, sharks or whoever's trying to eat you, you have a potential action of still fighting back. But in
they
the
say
air?
You can sock them, but that whole thing about giving them a right hook with my drawing hand and they've got all those teeth aimed at you, I just don't see that. I don't see that. I would rather lose a foot, but you know.
But you can still like, see, that's. I feel like you'd still fight somehow. You can't just go down.
I think I would, but I'm just saying. I'm just saying nature wins. That's my two words. Nature
we
wins. Gotta,
we must fight back. Carolyn loves nature though.
I do. I feel like there's
unless it's toothy and large.
Yeah, I mean, definitely I would be freaking scared of sharks, but I feel like there is like no control over nature. Like if they want, you know, if Mother Nature wants to throw out a storm at you, like it's today there. It was raining. It's like, how am I supposed to prevent that besides having an umbrella?
Yeah,
you know, like
there's nothing. You just prepare. Well, and I actually had like my parents live on the all-you-can-eat shark buffet, Panama City Beach. And I was out there one time and my friends and my mom were screaming at me to come in because there was a big shark between me and the beach. But then I wondered why they were saying, come in, swim here.
Yeah.
Because the shark was between me and the beach. Like, I'm not going to swim towards him. I thought if I stand here really still, like, he's probably not going to notice me, except you know you wet yourself. Like when you see them, you know they're gonna.
Do they? Like, they probably smell it.
Oh, they
urine,
smell
right?
Everything. You know, I mean, my goodness.
Are they attracted to urine? Or
I don't
do
know
they
what
get away from
attracted
it?
To. My brother told me not to wear jewelry because you know they think it's fish scales. But
like
at that point, you know, if you're in there with them, but it was a big one. It was like an 8-footer, and it was big and kept swimming back and forth, and then it kind of swung. Very close to me. And
how close?
Within about 10 or 12 feet.
So you could see its fin.
I could see it. No, I could just see the shape under the water. They don't
That's
surface.
Even scarier.
They say they don't surface very often. They say that to really see a fin coming towards you is a rarity. Or maybe they don't know because all the people who see fins are not around anymore. This is probably not very funny, but I'm enjoying this conversation.
No, but like that's what I fear about
the
water.
But I saw the big dark thing, and he came, and then he swung and swam the other way, and this is absolutely true. You know what? All I thought was, well, what is wrong with me? Like, why would
you don't want to eat me?
I'm not good
why
enough
am I
for
rejected?
You. You know what I mean? I really, that is actually pathetically the first thing I thought.
I'm actually intrigued.
And then I was like, I should probably be going, thank you, Jesus. Yeah. I'm not bitten in half.
I'm
someone
intrigued
else,
if they
someone
like
else
will smell
attacked.
The urine or not, though. Like, that's my, that's, I know
I was that
so
scared.
Silly.
I'm just saying, we don't have to go any further, but I'm just saying I was that scared.
Yeah. Like, like,
sorry.
I don't know where I heard this, but like, somebody was talking about how to prevent rape, which I don't even know how, if that is possible, but like, somebody had this tactic of like, peeing on the guy, and like mentally I was like, I should do that if ever I get raped, just pee. And then I'm
that
like,
that's a good plan though.
But
it's
then
very
also
effective.
The thing is you're supposed to, well, if you've already been raped, you are supposed to not pee because they have like the DNA in it. So you're supposed to like call the authorities and like try to hold off peeing. And then I guess like that helps them keep the DNA and all stuff. But so like, I guess if it is after the attack, you shouldn't pee. But I want to try like to pee on the guy or something. But then maybe that's a turn on for some of them. I don't know. Who knows what people are into.
They all have these weird things, like in the worst case scenario, you know, they always have these things they tell you. Like they used to, I remember in Colorado when I first moved there, it was weird to me because we have bears in Tennessee, but I mean, mm-hmm. not in Memphis. So like when I first moved to Colorado and we were there in the spring and they come on the radio and they tell you what to do to keep away bears and cougars. The tips are, the first thing is they want you to cover your garbage because the bears and cougars do come down and eat people's pets and garbage and stuff. And then what they do, they said, if you encounter a bear, I kid you not, this is what they said. They said, make yourself look larger. And I was thinking, well, I'll just wear horizontal stripes. How about we wear that? And then they said, and I remember this so clearly, they said, go in a large group because bears don't attack groups of six or more. And all I could think is, they travel with like a bear savant who counts you up.
Yeah, I'm like, well, what if
all the bears
five?
Are going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We can't attack them. You're going to have Carl's Jr. today. You have to Taco Bell today. There's 7 people. But they actually had this guy. They actually had this guy on the news. Like 2 of them had been attacked by bears and they lived. So we may laugh about them.
It's always perfect.
One of them had like this. He was being interviewed. And he had this big bite on his forehead,
God.
Like an Australian surfboard. You know, he had like teeth marks. And they said, well, what happened? He said, well, I woke up. When I woke up, my head was in the bear's mouth.
What is that?
And I was just sitting there thinking, I think I would awaken when the bear was unzipping the tent.
Yeah,
like because. You know, if they can count to 7, they can unzip a tent.
They're like, only 2 people in this tent.
But you know, it's one of those situations where he was probably having like a bad dream.
Yeah.
And you know how the real life just intersects with that dream.
Yeah, you wake up.
Yeah, and he's like, oh no, this is real.
My head really is in a bear's mouth.
How did you say he got out of the bear's mouth?
No.
He was just like,
I just woke up and I thought, what did you, must have had really bad breath. I mean, what really, what scared the bear away? I just remember being so shocked about that.
I bet if I was envisioning the situation, the bear was probably like taking a bite and like realized halfway, he's like, I don't really like this. It just drops him.
Yeah, really.
So now he's going through the same thing you were. It's like, why'd you drop me? You
know? Yeah. What's wrong with me that I'm not a sufficient meal?
I'm not good enough.
Well, it's weird because my parents live in Panama City Beach. Like I said, my mom's always like, Teresa, I don't know. I think it might be dang. You don't walk at night. She'll call me and I'm walking home. She's like, Teresa, are you in a good neighborhood? I'm like, Mom, D.C. is not as dangerous and scary as you think. And my parents live in a neighborhood. I said, you think I'm in danger? My parents literally live walking distance from a lake where an alligator has come out and dragged somebody down and eaten them.
Oh,
and they have neighbors that have pit bulls that are unleashed. And I'm like, you have land sharks and unleashed pit bulls. Like, that is so much scarier than where I live.
Yeah, you have like these animals from Sci-Fi Channel versus like life of the gangsters coming after you.
Sharks versus
like
gangsters.
Sharknado. If
they were to team up and you actually have like gangs of sharks and like gangs of nature going after you.
Snakes.
But it
plane.
Is weird because alligators are just land sharks.
Wait, so
that's
how do they they just jump out? They just walk out?
Oh, they come out? No, I mean, I remember, and this wasn't right in Mom's neighborhood, but down there, a female jogger, like one came out of a canal and chased her. They get in there fast, which you don't think of.
They
chased her down and killed her. Like they dragged her down into the water and killed
her. They eat a lot
like
of family
stalked,
pets too.
Stalked this girl.
They run up.
Like horror movie style.
They're so creepy. And then my brother texted me one day a picture of a 9-foot alligator. They were on the beach and it was just behind a restaurant even. Like there's bushes and this restaurant and there's a 9-foot gator on the beach, like 20 yards from them.
That's scary.
He texted me, he's like, look what we came across on the beach. I mean, those are seriously, they're land sharks.
Yeah.
That's so creepy.
How are you allowed to attack back?
Like kill them?
Yeah.
I mean, self-defense.
I mean,
you must be allowed to kill them because they sell gator bites everywhere.
Oh, that's
you know,
true.
Like deep-fried gator chunks.
Have you ever seen the show
I would hate to be
people?
A gator.
I love swamp people. I love those people.
I love them too.
I could never do what they do. I like watching them do it.
I have like a mixed reaction with that show because like I do love the people. I love the accent. I love that they're subtitled even though I know I understand what they're saying, which is just the comedy of it. But yeah, like part of me is like, is this whole show just basically like shoving a shotgun in the alligator's mouth.
Well, like, that's true. There's not very sportsmanlike, is it?
They shot it really, right in their head.
Yeah, yeah, thrill, it's like right in there.
The
man.
Thrill of the hunt, exactly.
It's like, oh, we got you. Now blow your brains out.
Yeah. And so there's like certain things that I'm like, because I love nature, you know? And I'm like, but then, I don't know.
Well, it seems unfair, doesn't it?
Yeah, and then like all unfair. Of it's just being made into like handbags and stuff or belts or it's all just, I don't know.
Well, now this is funny because I don't have a problem using like leather and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I feel like we also, don't you feel like in the animal world, we always have like a hierarchy of animals. Like there's some we don't care if they kill and use, like yeah. I don't care if they make me a snake shoes because snakes are mean. But then you don't want like chinchilla shoes because they're so cute and cuddly. Mm-hmm. It's like, it is weird. Like people fight for the cute fuzzy things, but they don't fight as hard for like the nasty gators. Yeah. Or
see, and that's
like
that's
that.
The same thing of like, oh, we're not good enough to be.
Yeah,
to
really.
That's how
people make rabbit coats and stuff. I'm like, yeah. Rabbit, really?
Well, like, one time I said that something to a friend of mine who had one. And I said, oh, that's rabbits. Think of all the little bunnies that died. And she goes, this coat's so old, all these rabbits would be dead by now anyway. That was yeah. her big excuse.
I mean, back then, back in like our grandparents' time, it was like everyone had fancy, mm-hmm. or I don't know if they were fancy at that time, but it was very prominent to have a fur coat. Mm-hmm. And it was, and almost everyone, it feels like, had one. Mm-hmm. But nowadays, like, no one walks around with, like, straight up fur coat.
Hardly like, at hardly, all. I mean, yeah. You see them promote it and stuff, you know, but I don't see people really walking
fur,
around.
But not, yeah. like, a real, you know, not real.
Not
so.
Pelt. You're not walking around pelted.
Yeah. And even, like, back in the day, I've seen pictures of, like, both my grandparents. Like,
oh, with
my,
the little...
With the Shaw thing, with the head.
With the fox biting
the fox
its
head.
Tail.
Yeah, like
that
the
always
fox
weirded
actually,
me
the,
out.
The
it's got, like,
head.
The little dried-up nose and yeah. little eyes. It's so creepy.
But apparently
like
that
a
was,
shrunken,
like, a thing if everyone was wearing it around their shoulder. Like, can you imagine people...
I just thought
people,
that was sad.
Can you imagine people nowadays, though, like, wearing a dead fox around their neck?
No,
like,
I can't. I'm sure people do, though, somewhere.
I've never seen it in
somebody
person.
Somebody still buys furs. Well, now, here's the thing. It's like, I say this about fur stuff, but I'll definitely wear leather. I wear leather coats.
Yeah.
Now, and I haven't eaten beef in 25 years because I just can't, but I don't have anything against it, and I figure I buy enough purses that maybe somebody else needs to make that up. Like, maybe I'm making it up because I'm not eating beef, but I'm using the leather, so who am I to judge?
Yeah.
Well, at least they're not having, like, the actual animal's head onto the coat
yeah,
itself.
The literal
no, that's
head.
Really creepy.
That would be really, specifically since it's so big.
I did see a picture of my grandma, like a black and white photo of her on the street, like all dressed up wearing
the
her
little...
fox. And I'm like, but I was like, man, that actually looks badass, you know? Like, but I would never wear that.
But the
in
indignity,
2013.
The indignity for the fox or the ermine or whatever it is, yeah. because you know what they do? Like I don't know when I encountered this. It must have been in a thrift store because I love thrift stores. But they actually have like a little clip in the thing's mouth, and you think, boy, that's not how you want to come back. You know, like put a clothespin in my mouth and make me bite my tail so you can wear me.
Yeah, that's not really the best, afterlife.
No,
you can think
it's
of.
Not like you're climbing the ladder of eternity.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like, would I rather come back as a cockroach or one of those ermine that's biting its tail? If an ermine can bite its tail, I just like saying ermine.
I mean, I can't really think of myself.
Ermine Munster. How about that?
Yes.
I don't know. Like, because I wonder if animals are going to just have, like, in the future, like...
They'll revolt.
Yeah, like the crocodiles will have, like, a human coat. That's pretty much what I feel like it's going to be.
Oh, my God. That'd be so awesome.
I would not want to live near a place that has animals that are known for seeking revenge. Basically, yeah. You know,
seriously.
Well, is it just crocodiles?
Week,
you said something else, some other animal.
Oh, pit bulls.
Yeah,
pit bulls. Yeah.
Well, I feel like pit bulls were just that's what they're trained for.
Last
sometimes.
Week on the internet, there was a story about a man, I guess, who woke up in the morning
and a bear was bitten.
No,
by his head.
And his head was in the bear's mouth.
Yeah, a fox was in his bed, and he thought it was his girlfriend.
I did hear that. I heard that story.
Yeah,
that's so
and
creepy.
But it's like, oh my God, how did a fox get in your house, dude? Like,
it was
like
smart
a fox
enough to just
hanging out in the bed.
And smart enough to know.
Door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fox,
he's like, this is where I hang out. In
yeah,
the bed.
Fox was smart enough to know, like, this is probably the most comfortable place to be. I'll be right here.
We used to have foxes in our neighborhood in Denver. And I mean, we lived in the city, but there was a big, chapel, church, school kind of thing that was fenced in. And there was a family of five foxes that lived there. So we would see the little foxes running around at night all the time. And I mean, we were in a busy section of town. It was kind of funny to see that. I don't have a point besides that. That was the whole story.
No, but I actually do like when I see animals like in a city, but like acting almost like humans. Like I've seen like birds just
like going
walk.
To happy hour, yeah. Stuff like that.
Sitting around reading GQ.
Yeah, really.
Going to the coffee shop.
Non-fat decaf, hazelnut.
Like there is a difference, I think, of like there's city animals and there's like nature animals.
Yeah,
see, like, that's true.
I've seen birds like just hang out. I mean, they do hang out like in the cities all the time.
Like
I've
seen birds that look like gangs that will fight over like pizza crust and stuff.
Yeah,
and there's no pizza in the forest, so yeah.
Like, exactly.
How have you evolved to this gluten level of nutrition?
They're like going.
And they
to...
all like gang up too.
They're mean. I think birds are mean. Okay, just...
Are they mean?
I'm hoping no birds are listening to this right now. But birds kind of creep me out, and I think it just goes back to the birds. You know,
the movie?
Yeah, Alfred Hitchcock's
Birds can be mean, though. But I think birds are, like, awesome, because it's, like... I would love to fly like that through the forest, like, through the trees, the way that they dart like that.
But then they use their pointy beaks for very mean things.
Like a woodpecker?
Well, I'm thinking really morbid things like vultures and ravens.
Oh, but I love vultures and ravens. Those are my favorite birds.
Well, I think ravens are really cool. That's just that whole Poe thing, and I like spooky things.
You don't like vultures?
Well, I liked vultures in those cartoons, though, that they had those cartoons, you know, but I don't like them for real. They're creepy.
Vultures are like the grim reapers of the skies.
They are.
I saw a couple of vultures near here. Like, I drove by. Yeah, like, I took a photo.
They're so creepy.
And they're, like, all, like, hunched over, and they're like, lurking.
Yeah, they're macabre.
Yeah,
and
they are.
Menacing.
That's what I like about them.
Well, I think ravens are cool, but they're so noisy, and, like, they gang up. Yeah. I don't know. It really is.
What about seagulls?
It's all from the birds. It is from the birds. You know what, anyone? This is really weird tangent, funny tangent. My husband knows so many people. He worked at the Denver Center with a guy who played the little boy who falls and his glasses break.
What?
He knew him. He worked with him, the guy who played the little boy in the birds.
That's what he's always going to be known for.
Yeah.
He will never be able
to. No, but what a cool thing.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
So, Teresa.
It's an iconic role.
Let's talk more about you, because I don't know how much time we have left in the show, but so we talked about your stand-up comedy career.
Yeah.
Now, what about, like, you also do art. So
yes.
Can you tell everyone more about all of that and how you got into like taking your comedy and injecting it in your art?
Oh, well, let me see. I think I started getting, well, I was a graphic design major way back in the day, but I always liked my painting classes best. And I sort of didn't really get into that. I knew I was a good designer and I got hired by Hallmark. And then Hallmark sort of trained me to do like all kinds of stuff I didn't think I could do. They would put a project in front of you and you'd go, I've never done anything. And they would, you could do it. And they just made you do it. And then it sort of made me a lot more confident as an artist because they forced me sort of to do, I mean, not in a mean way. It was just like, well, that's your assignment.
Yeah.
You know, okay.
Yeah.
I'll do that.
But you were never like, what happens if I don't do it then? Right.
Yeah. No. I was so happy to have a job.
But was that your first gig out of college?
No, right out of college, I worked at an in-house ad agency at a department store called Goldsmiths in Memphis. And I designed shopping bags, like, so that was fun.
Oh,
so
wow.
It was kind of Hallmarky and ads and art directed ads, and did model, you know, worked with models and did photo shoots and stuff. Cool. And then got hired from there to go work for Hallmark, and I was there for several years before I hit the road to be a stand-up comic. But while I was at Hallmark, I got into really doing more cartooning and stuff. That's really, even though I had done cartooning when I was a little kid, like I remember doing this book full of snobby models at Holly's Women, and I designed all their clothes and they all had their noses in the air because I thought that's how models looked. And I did a whole book full of snobby models.
I like
snobby
that idea.
Models, but yeah. And
do you still have
like this? I bet my mother has it somewhere, because my mother has everything that we ever had.
The shrine.
That'd be cool to bring that back.
It would be the snobby models. I should do an update. I should do those on my little ATC thing.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. Well, why don't we? We'll do some of those at. We'll do some of those to sell at New York Comic Con.
That'd be pretty
snobby
awesome.
Models.
Awesome.
Oh, my character minis. That's what I'm calling those. My character minis. The little bitty guys, originals.
So when you left Hallmark to do a be a stand up comedian, how did you like? Did you just tell them like, yeah? So I'm out of here. I'm gonna be a stand up comedian.
I did actually, and it was funny because it wasn't. I mean, it was a really difficult decision. But when I was leaving, one of the managers said, "Well, if it doesn't work out for you, we'll have you back." So
that's good.
So that was very nice. I felt like I had, and they also gave me freelance work. So I have freelance cool. work on the road, which
yeah, that was good.
Became kind of difficult for, in certain periods because I was putting 1,000 miles a week on my car, and you know, you do like 3 one-nighters. And then 3 nights in one place, or 4 one-nighters and 2 nights in one place. And then I lived in Chicago for a little bit and just basically would do my laundry and buy apples and hit the road again.
Yeah.
You know, it would be like that. But oh, I've had some amazing experiences on the road just traveling and just car stuff where I can't sometimes believe I'm still alive. I hope my mother never hears this.
I think that's where some of the best stuff is the car stuff.
Oh my gosh. I fell asleep at the wheel one time, woke up in a median.
Scary.
Yeah.
You woke up in the median, like
yeah,
stopped?
I was like, no, I was not There's stopped.
Oh my God.
I was not stopped. I'm like, you know, as I'm making fun of the guy who wakes up in the bear's mouth,
well, yeah.
I'm making fun of myself waking up driving
in the median.
Yeah, but
that's what
it.
Woke me up, the bumpity, bumpity, bumpity. Oh, I hope my parents never hear this.
You they woke up.
They've got to never hear this. But then I just got back on the road.
Seriously, I've fallen asleep while driving from mm-hmm. New York back to Northern Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably the worst thing I've ever done in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I didn't crash or anything, but mm-hmm. I probably fell asleep like 50 times on that whole drive. Like,
oh,
I was basically,
that's the
and
worst.
I don't even know how long I was gone for. And then all of a sudden I'd wake back up. I tried singing to myself. I tried shaking my hand, like one of my hands on the driving, like trying to stay up.
I do when, love like, when you are trying to sing to yourself, like when you're trying to keep yourself awake, because those are the times when you're like really into that song. You're like hardcore singing yeah. the hell out of that song. Just to get in, just to get back. To
like, you're like, Beyonce would be so jealous. Yeah. She's gonna hear me right now.
But
she
like,
would
I
run screaming, and Jay-Z would hire me.
I should have totally just like pulled over and taken like a 30-minute nap. But like, I just had to get home that quickly that day, and it was just yeah. like insane though. Like,
which
it's
was
like,
a year ago, probably.
Yeah, it was actually a year ago from oh this past New York Comic Con. Like, but like that was so scary. Like. I don't even know. I can't even describe. It's
so
worse
creepy.
Than I mean, I've never driven drunk. I've never been drunk no. like that. But like, from what I've heard, people say it's worse than driving drunk. But like, I'm sure all
the
your
sleepiness.
Road. Yeah, like I'm sure your road stories are crazy because Joe and I also follow wrestling, and like those performers have to travel all the time too, and so we hear all of their road stories, and they're always so crazy.
It is so weird. I mean, I remember too. There's been two weather things that I think were the most. Terrified I ever was driving. I was just white knuckled, terrified driving. And one was coming from Scottsdale, Arizona, and up in the mountains near Scottsdale, there was just like a freak snowstorm, like blizzard. And I'm full on going on these mountain crap. I hope my mom and dad never heard this podcast. I was full on going around these mountain curves. Following the truckers' lights to try to, and then when they would pass you, I mean, I would be completely in the blind and just praying God. That God would just hold my tires to the pavement. Like I could not see a thing for stretches and like it just seems when I think back on it, it just creeps me out.
Yeah,
and then another
it's
one,
like that was crazy.
Yeah,
like straight up crazy.
Straight up crazy. I can't believe I survived. And then after I got out of the mountains. I went and drove to a motel and slept in my car. I was just exhausted. I was like a little kid, you know, who has like a big fit and then like loses, you know, just yeah. is like, love, I've used everything. I couldn't even function after I got out of the mountains.
It takes a lot out of you.
It does. And then the other one that I think was the scariest weather thing was tornadoes in Kansas.
Oh,
and I've
man.
Been through a lot of tornadoes actually, because I'm from Memphis,
mm-hmm.
but it was driving on I-70 and there were those walls of just roiling clouds on either side
yeah.
that were just closing in, and I could not see. You couldn't see. I mean, I could see the road, but it was just like I don't know, Moses going through the Red Sea. It was just on both sides, just this clouds, and there are tornado warnings all over the place. And I'm pulling out maps, I'm listening to the radio, and I'm trying to think, okay, I'm going this direction. Am I ahead of it or behind it?
Or is in it?
Or in it? Is it aimed at me? Have I dodged it? I couldn't figure out. And I remember I was just terrified until I got out of it, until finally it had stopped raining and it kind of, some light opened up at the end, and it was one of the most terrifying, and that went on for hours.
Oh man.
I don't even, it's one of those things you just can almost not believe.
Again,
you survived.
Nature.
I have very busy guardian angels, apparently. Like very,
I believe
very
in guardian
competent
angels.
Very competent guardian angels. Yeah. I bet they're like bummed to be assigned to me though. Really? Give me a comic cartoonist who enjoys swimming with sharks and going on cruises.
Did you know when being a stand-up comedian that's how the life is going to be? Like a lot of travel?
Well, you know, it's like back then when I would do that, and it was a very different kind of, it was a different kind of life because I was on the road, and now in my car, you know, kind of, and now I get hired mainly for events or, you know, several days at a club where, and I get paid better and I get flown in and, you know, it's a lot.
Those are all pluses.
It's a lot
there.
Better than it used to be. Yeah. So when I first started, I paid serious dues, but now I feel like, yeah, I like the money I make, and I like, and it's a great way to get paid for your humor writing. I mean, it's the best pay I get for my humor writing. So,
and you get like an instant reaction too.
Yeah.
Because I feel like with the art side of it, you might not hear back for a really long time.
Unless you do those outdoor art festivals, which I'd refuse to do anymore, where people come up and go, oh, I could do this. And you think, well, shut up and go home and do it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And, it's like, well, where's your booth?
Yeah, do
Carolyn's,
it. Yeah.
Carolyn's had many times where like parents would come up to her and be like, so tell my daughter, what exactly are you doing?
It is. Yeah. It is very interesting, isn't it? People or people go, my daughter's artwork looks exactly like yours, and you're like, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Congrats. It took me like 30 years to get this kid.
Like, the worst was like a couple of years ago at New York Comic Con. This older gentleman came up there with like, his son was probably like in his early 20s, and he was like, you know, can you explain what you do? He's like, I want to like show my son somebody who actually works here. And like, well, you know, like, I know you're young and like, maybe you can tell my son about it and like basically kick him in the pants to do what you do, like type thing. Oh. And then the son was there and he didn't like say anything at all.
If the kid's not wanting to do it, it's
but
not.
It's one thing if like, you know, they're 15 and the dad is like, hey, my son wants to do this. Do you have, like, can you tell him advice or something? But that's like a 15-year-old, right? Uh-huh. But this guy was probably like 23 or something.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm like, dude, you can talk to me like on your own. You know what I mean? You don't need your dad to be like your mouthpiece.
Nudging
you. Yeah.
Nudge.
And like, it just felt really weird because I was just like, well, where's your portfolio? And he didn't have anything. I was like, well, you should be showing your portfolio to people. Like, but he didn't say anything. It was just his dad talking for him. And I'm like, dude, you're old enough. You know, like when you're 23, you're old enough to go up to somebody.
And to know if you want to be doing that too.
Yeah. It
like
just
sometimes you wonder.
Weird. It felt weird for me because I'm like, I'm supposed to give advice to you, but it's like through your dad and he's right here. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like some awkward thing.
It is funny though, because it's like over the years, like I got to where I kind of really got back into cartooning after kind of going into painting for a while. And I liked working really big, and I had a studio in Denver where I could work really big. And then when I started coming back to the cartooning, I feel like it helped me so much because I'd gotten a lot looser and a lot more confident. And now I'm really, really loving cartooning. I just started my first graphic novel, which is a Magic Bullet, number 7, page 1.
Go to magicbulletcomics.com
to
see a listing of where you can find all of the newspapers, and they're free, so you can pick them up.
I love Magic Bullet. I love it. And I showed it to people on when I was on this trip, and some of the people like on this boat in the Caribbean actually had seen it because they'd been to some cons in the other other parts of the country.
Holy moly.
Yeah, I can't believe that's not the first thing I told you when I came back.
Oh,
Magic Bullet, internationally known.
We've started doing sort of like a slight viral thing where wherever Carol and I are like eating or like hanging out, we would just leave one there.
That's a good thing.
Just
because like,
you always see
like leaving our mark.
Yeah, but you always see like people leave their newspaper around like a Starbucks or something like that. We're like, well, let's just leave
them. We should leave
them
on the metro now. Yeah. And then. You know, people are always reading stuff on the metro. That would be, we should totally do that. We should totally do. You know, I started and I was talking to some friends, like artists, about drawing it, because I have a friend who travels and she draws people, you know, sits and does pen and ink and stuff, just draws crowds in the public. So I think I'm going to do this. I'm going to become a better artist because, hey, I'm a professional. And so I'm sitting on the metro one day and I see this guy and I think, oh, I want to draw him. He's got like his messenger bag, so he's leaning. And I start drawing him, but he kept catching me looking at him. Yeah. So it got kind of weird. It started getting weird. So I had to stop and like, you know, turn them into cartoons. And I finally closed my book because I kept, you have to look at people if you're going to draw them. Maybe the key is you draw more than one person. So like one person doesn't see you really staring at
them. Yeah, you kind of
really
skip around.
I haven't finessed this art of drawing public people.
Imagine doing street photography. Whenever I've done street photography, they always know they're taking a photo of you. They always can pick it out. And they're like, did you take a photo of me? And I'm like,
what?
No.
With this aimed at you? No, not at all. With a click? No, that wasn't me.
Teresa, who are your cartoon heroes?
Cartoon heroes. Roz Chast, Linda Barry, Charles Adams, Edward Gorey.
So many to choose from.
There are. There
but yeah,
are.
You gave us a good selection.
That's the four that popped to mind.
Oh, you gave me the wrap-up sign. Well, Teresa, we're about to go, or you're about to go to your very first New York Comic Con experience. Real quick, what do you think it's going to be? Is it going to blow your mind, or you think it's just going to be this just awesome experience? Prophesize us.
I think it's going to be awesome, and I think it's going to be terrifying, and I think I'm going to get wrestled to the ground by Andrew Lincoln's people. That's what I'm thinking.
This is the turning point, I feel like, for you. It's either you're either going to really love it,
or
you're going to be like, all right, that's enough.
That's enough of this nonsense.
I think she's going to love it. It's going to be overwhelming, though.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those moments where you're like, okay, this is the pinnacle, and this is as much as I can handle right now. Or it's going to be like, I want more. And you're never going to be able to feed that hunger ever again.
But you know, I will say, I'm a person like in crowds. Like I don't like to be in the middle of that. Like I like being behind a table. But like when you're going down the aisles, like I don't like when you walk through a crowd and you get like stretch marks just from walking through the crowd.
Well, this is the place.
So I'll stay behind.
Yeah.
You
might want to stay in your booth because this is the place where
that
happens.
I'm going to stay in the booth the whole time.
This is the place where like, you can see it like way ahead of you. You're like, I don't think I want to go into that right now. Because it's mainly people stopping to do cosplay photos and it just jams up the whole entire aisle.
Now, I want to ask y'all a question. Sure. Like, have y'all ever done cosplay?
Nope.
Well, that wasn't my question, actually.
Okay,
but,
sorry.
But my question is, if you did cosplay Carolyn and Joe, who would you be?
Well, I would always go as Dean Winchester from the TV show Supernatural.
Oh, Supernatural.
Yeah. Because
he just dresses like a normal guy.
Yeah, because he has the same coat
like
as me.
Serial killer thing. But they look like everybody else.
Yeah, but literally though, my coat style was taken from that show, so I just integrated that into my normal wear.
You basically need his car, and that's about it.
Was that Sam and Dean?
Either it's that,
Sam and Dean.
Yeah, Sam.
I wonder
Dean.
If they'll be there. They might be there.
Actually, Sam was there.
But Dean never goes.
He never goes to any Comic-Con.
What the heck?
Jensen Ackles. I don't know.
What the heck?
Or I would go as Daft Punk. That would be one of them. And I'll have the helmet.
How about you, Carolyn?
I think I would try to go as one of our characters. I'd go as Roxy Monroe from Black Magic Tales.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, might as well promote myself.
Yeah.
Like, who else is going to do it?
So thanks for being on the show, Teresa. So real quick, what websites you got? Where can people find you?
I have my Fog of Worry webcomic at www.laughingredhead.me and my basic website, www.laughingredhead.com. And I'm renovating those because they need to all be consolidated. But if you go Laughing Redhead, if you're looking for me on Etsy or Twitter or any of that, it's Laughing Redhead on everything.
Awesome. Well, of course, the show is brought to you by StrayProductions.com or Stray Productions. You can check out my work at JoeCarabello.com or GoStray.tumblr.com or where else? I forget. StrayProductions.com, of course, is what we do. What do you got, Carolyn?
Check out my comic strip, Curls.
Woo!
You can read it at curls-studio.com. And you'll be able to read, hopefully, all of the blog recaps from our fall convention scene And we hope to see you on November 9th at Southern Maryland Comic Con and November 10th at the Parkinson's Walk in DC, and also on November 2nd for Cartoonist Draw Blood. Check out all the information at curls-studio.com.
Thanks for being on the show, Teresa.
Thank y'all. That was so fun.
It was so awesome. I wanted to talk for hours and hours.
Oh, me too.
We probably will.
We'll do it again.
Well, everyone at home, we will catch you later. See you, Carolyn.
Adios.
Bye, Teresa.
Adios, muchachos.